comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hey folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I'm here because you have a right to know. I'm here because you matter. You know, today is Memorial Day here in the United States of America, and Memorial Day is a very special holiday in which we honor and salute those who have given their lives in service to our country, people who have died serving our country. And I do salute these very brave men and women for their sacrifice and their selflessness. You know, to honor them, no greater honor could be paid them than for masses of the sheeple to shake off their stupor, stand up like men, and take back their freedoms. May we so honor these valiant heroes of liberty. The Kevin Smith Show is 100% listener-supported. And what that means is that when we take a break, when we go to a break, we're not playing advertising to sell you things. Therefore, we don't have ad income. Now, it's not because there are no advertisers who are willing. There are, and we have turned them down. We are listener-supported so that we can remain 100% free in our ability to deliver you the content you expect and the content you want and the content you need. That means we don't have advertisers that can call us and say, if you have that guest on the show, we're going to pull our ads. So we're not controlled by the advertisers. But let me tell you who does control us. You. We are listener supported. And what that means is, although it's free to listen every night, it always has been, and we hope it always will be, and even though that's the case, if you don't stand with us, then what's going to happen is we can't stand. We can't keep standing. Now, it's only $7.50 a month to be a member. And all you have to do is click where it says join, and nobody but you can do that. Nobody but you can fix it. Only you. And it's very, very important that you do that. Most of you wouldn't even miss the $7.50. But it can make the difference between whether we are here tomorrow night or not. It really, really can. Because we are listener supported, we operate on a paper thin budget. And all it takes is for just a handful of members to have some difficulty one month and we can pay the bills. We need you. Click where it says join. Help us stand. We'll be back with Stan Romanek right after this.
Hey
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Stan Romanek. Now, he's been a guest on our show before, but it's been a long time since we've had him, and I suppose that's my fault. I don't know why, but it's been a while. And there have been a lot of developments in his life and in his story since he was last with us. And we're delighted to have him back with us again this evening. Stan, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Oh, hi, Kevin.
Hi.
Thank you for having me.
Folks, Stan Romanek is well known throughout the UFO field. And he's well known because he is an abductee. And there are a lot of folks out there who claim that they are abductees, and maybe they are. But Stan has physical evidence, and we'll be sharing some of that with you this evening. But Stan, for those you know who are new to the genre and may not know your story, let's give them a little thumbnail sketch of your story and how all this began.
Well, really, it began when I was a kid, but my main experience started in December of 2000, when I had my first UFO sighting. It actually started because, I like to blame my wife for this, but really, it's not her fault. But I met my wife online, and she lived in a different state, and I lived in Colorado, and I wanted her to come visit me, and I thought, you know, maybe if I sent her a care package, or maybe if I videotape the surrounding area, send her some chocolates, maybe I'll entice her to come visit me. Well, that's what I decided to do. I got my video camera, and, you know, I live, you know, right next to the Rocky Mountains, and I thought, you know, it's a beautiful winter day. I'll go videotape the snow and the scenery, and the only trouble is I never actually made it to my destination on my way up. Some cars were pulled off to the side of the road, and they were watching this UFO over some power lines, and that's basically when it started for me.
Okay, so you had this UFO sighting, but did anything particularly personal happen at that sighting?
Well, yeah, you can say that. This object, whatever it was, at first I thought, you know, it was some kind of military experiment, because really back then I just refused to believe in this stuff. And, you know, as I got close to this UFO, I was driving right under it, basically, because the power lines were just like maybe 5 feet, you know, from the road off to my left. And this thing was about maybe 60 feet above that. It must have been about 40 foot in diameter. And it was just stationary. It was tilted forward and stationary. And then as I drove under it, I luckily have my video camera out, because I didn't believe this was happening. And I knew if I didn't get some evidence that nobody else would either. But as I was driving, this thing started pacing my van. And I remember all this static electricity everywhere. And I pulled off to the side of the road once I felt safe, as I got by some people. And when I started rolling down my window, this object somehow noticed me and literally reorientated itself and shot to about maybe 500 feet in just a matter of not even a millisecond. It was so fast it created a small sonic explosion or sonic boom. And I grew up in the military, and, man, we have jets flying over us all the time, so I was pretty familiar with what a sonic boom sounded like.
So when you say it shot up about 500 feet, you mean it gained 500 feet in altitude?
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Absolutely.
And
so fast you couldn't even follow it with your eyes.
Now, you have video of it?
I do have video of this object, and unfortunately it's not very good video, because I was rather frightened. And when you're trying to hold the darn thing, it's impossible to get something that's moving like that clearly. But I did get it clear enough that, you know, it made the news, the local news, and there were so many people there that, you know, had seen it also, so that definitely helped.
All right, so that's in 2000.
Yeah.
When are you aware of being abducted by, I assume, extraterrestrials for the very first time? And let me ask you, is it extraterrestrials or is it military abductions?
I've actually had both. I've had both experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And my first abduction experience literally started in 2001, September of 2001. And is it September or November? I get those dates confused. But it was the 20th of, yes, it was September, 20th of September. And I'd already seen other UFOs after that, and I was managing a retail store in a corner of a very, very busy intersection. And it was, you know, rush hour, and I was going home, and I let my last customer out. I locked up the store, and they came running back. They said, "Hey, look, there's something hovering above your work." And, well, they said, "There's something above your work." And I thought, you know, somebody was on the roof, and I went outside to see what they were trying to get me to look at, and I looked up, and there was this red sphere, perfectly round red sphere, and it stayed there for a while in front of everybody, literally during rush hour, and eventually just went away, and I quickly drove home. I was rather frightened again, and I locked up the store, and I drove home, and I see this blinking object above my apartment complex, and I knew then that something odd was going on. Well, my sister and my friend were waiting for me. We were going to go out to dinner, and I ran upstairs. I got them, got my camera, came back down. They saw it. Everybody saw it. I videotaped it for a while. Eventually, the thing went away. Well, we actually never went to dinner, and my friend left about 11 o'clock because we were trying to figure out what we had just seen. And I started getting a real bad headache, so I went to bed. 2 o'clock in the morning, there was a knock at the door, which is not typical of what you hear, you know, of the abduction phenomenon. Well, they've been must have been knocking for a long time, because by the time I got up to answer the door, you know, it woke me up. I got up to answer the door. My sister had already answered the door. And there were three people standing outside, and they were smaller. You know, I thought they were young teenagers, young skinny teenagers at first. And again, this is not typical. If you hear about the abduction experience, you always hear, especially in mainstream media, they always try to get you to believe that it's something called sleep paralysis. I was fully awake when this happened. I remembered literally everything. And I'll never forget, there was a female and two males, which is, again, is not typical. And I thought they were going to rob us because, to me, it looked like they were wearing some kind of costumes or masks. And the female came forward, she grabbed my wrist, and I'll never forget this, it was the most bizarre. First of all, I realized, number one, they weren't wearing costumes or masks, and I was literally screaming inside, oh my God, nothing would come out. And a thought popped into my head, it's okay, you're going to be okay, you're going to be fine. And that must have shook me up enough that I snapped out of whatever trance I was in, and by that time they were leading me out to the balcony, and we lived in a second story apartment, so I grabbed one of the males and I was going to throw him off the balcony, and I felt a light tap on the back of my head and I woke up somewhere else.
Alright, did they look human?
No, they didn't. They looked, for lack of a better description, I used to call them the possum people, because they had huge, huge eyes, but they weren't black. They were very slanted and very huge almond-shaped eyes, but the irises were so blue they were almost violet. And they had huge heads like you'd see of the, you know, I guess they call them the grays, the typical grays. But they didn't have gray skin. They were very pale. They had cancer patient kind of very old, scraggly, almost non-existent hair, but it was still there. And, you know, they weren't your typical, they almost looked like a cross between a human and something else, maybe. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. And what happened? They take you out to a spaceship, or?
Well, when I like I said, when they tapped me on the back of the head, I literally woke up. You know, and honestly, I can't tell you if it was. It could have been in somebody's basement. It could have been, who knows where. Was it a spaceship? I'm assuming so, because it was like someplace I'd never been before. There were no right angles in this room. There was the furniture, or whatever you want to call it, wasn't freestanding. It was formed or molded out of whatever this room was. It was part of the room itself. And everything had a kind of a metallic look to it, shiny metallic look to it. But there was this weird blue lighting, not like, you know, the regular incandescent lighting, almost like, you know, the newer European cars has that kind of bluish lighting, mm-hmm. different even than LED, just really bizarre. And I'll never forget the sickening sweet smell. But when I woke up, I was stuck to a wall, not like glued, but almost like some kind of gravity well, or like a centrifugal, you know, those amusement rides at the amusement park where mm-hmm. they spin around yeah. really fast?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like that. So,
what did they do to you?
Well, when I came to, the female, whatever it was standing right in front of me, and she turned her head. I remember she turned her head to the side, and it got the attention of one of the male beings that was there, and he had this lit box hanging from a strap on his shoulder. And out of the end of the, and it was, looked like it was illuminated internally. It was lit up internally. And it had a tube coming out the side, with what looked to me, lack of a better description, like a melon baller, but smaller. And I remember, she put her hand on this panel next to the wall, and it released me. And, they turned me around. And they started doing something to my lower back, and it was excruciating. I mean, it stung really bad. And she must have noticed I was in pain, and I felt a tap on the back of my head again, and I woke up in the middle of the room on a table.
Over the years, how many times would you say, now that was in 2001.
Yes.
Since 2001... So we're 11 years down the road, almost 11 years. In September, it'll be 11. How many times would you say you have been abducted during that period of time?
About 11 times that I can remember. Probably more. Two of which I honestly think might be government. And I'm not even going to say government. I'm going to say maybe secret government. I don't know. I know a lot of people in the government. I know a lot of people in the military, and they're good guys. Mm-hmm. And they want the truth just like everybody else. But there really does seem to be something trying to keep this subdued. But I'd say 11 times, and two of those were probably government.
Yeah. Or secret government.
Yes.
The ones that were, as you said, secret government, obviously they must have had a human involved, at least one. Were they wearing uniforms?
I do. You know, it's weird you say that, because I do, way back in the deepest, darkest recesses of my memory, swear I remember seeing briefly somebody with a military insignia or uniform or something. And these experiences, you know, were all about trying to scare the heck out of me. They weren't typical of my other experiences. And I was sick for weeks. Granted, I believe there are different things up there with different agendas. And you talk to some people that have had horrendous experiences. And mine weren't, you know, horrendous. Yes, they took me against my will, and yes, they were frightening, but they made sure that I wasn't in any pain, you know, and they always tried to return me in the right spot. Not always worked out.
But the ones that were wearing a uniform, those two situations where there was someone with a uniform, can you describe the uniform?
I remember like a military insignia of some kind, and it's very, very faint.
Mm-hmm. And you remember a color.
Other than that, I couldn't describe it. It just didn't feel right. It was, and again, I was sick for weeks after those. Like, maybe they injected me with something, or maybe who knows what. But it wasn't typical of what I had experienced before.
Do you remember a color of the uniform?
Yeah, like a dark, kind of dusty blue. Not dusty blue, but ashy blue. Almost like an Air Force uniform. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing, of course, but...
Okay. Those two experiences were very negative for you and painful and scary.
Yes.
Which is not
really typical. Again, that wasn't typical of what I had experienced before.
And what did they... Did they do some sort of medical procedures on you or what?
That's another thing. I can remember most all of my experiences. Again, one of which was they took me when I was fully awake. For some reason, those two, I just can't remember hardly anything at all other than, you know, a glimpse of a table or a glimpse of a light being shined in my eyes or them opening my... I remember feeling like they were doing this and sending a flashlight in my eyes.
I know a person who experienced one of those type of abductions and did not remember anything until he was returned. But it's at the return where all the action took place, because whatever trance or whatever they had him in suddenly just switched off. And the fight was on.
Yeah. Well, I've been beaten up. I've been shot at recently, and I pasted this all over my Facebook. We found a listening device. We had the publishing company that my new book is with paid for some professionals to sweep for, you know, surveillance devices, and they found actually two of them in our house. So, you know... there's something going on with whatever secret government. I wish to have the answers, you know, as to why they're trying to keep this quiet.
It is a mystery, isn't it? I have no idea why they would want to keep it quiet. And there was a time in our history when they didn't. There was a time in our history when they were telling people, hey, you see a UFO, we want you to report it to the U.S. Air Force. We're investigating it. It's a high priority for us. And now it's they pretend like they're not interested and like they're not investigating it. And the fact is, they are. We know they are. They get caught doing it, and then they lie about it. And why? I don't know. We have to step away for a break. We will be back, though, right after this.
Listening to the Kevin Smith Show.
All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking this evening with Stan Romanek. And Stan, am I saying your last name correctly?
Yes, you are, perfectly.
Okay, good. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we were talking with Stan about these abduction experiences, and Stan, by the way, folks, we changed how we link to the guest on the website. So if you go to the website, you scroll down, you see the picture about tonight's show. If right under the picture it says guest info, if you click that, it'll pop up information about Stan and also the link to his website. Okay, so be sure you check that out. On the website, you're going to find there is a trailer for a movie I guess, kind of a documentary stand. Is that right? Is that what it is? A documentary?
Feature film, yes. It's just a quick trailer. Yep.
Very interesting. And we have some still shots from that trailer that we're going to share tonight. Stan, before we get to these pictures, let's talk about what happens when you get taken, when you get abducted, and you come back and there are these marks on you, and one of these we're going to see, your face is bloody. What are they doing to you that's causing that?
Well, the bloody face actually wasn't from an abduction experience. It was from the black ops beating me up and telling me to keep quiet. But
hang on a second. This is sure. After you had been abducted?
Yes. Oh, yeah. This was a few years after. We had been harassed. We found listening devices in our house before. We found out our phones had been tapped. They actually cut me off on my way to work and got out and started beating me up in front of God and everybody and told me to keep my mouth shut. And again, I've been shot at. I get threats all the time, all kinds of stuff. I'm actually more afraid of the human element than I am of those guys up there, to be honest with you.
Well, I can understand why. So were these typical men in black, or these guys wearing uniforms, or what's the deal with them?
They were, growing up in the military, I know military when I see it, or special forces or whatever. These guys all had the kind of crew cuts, and they all had the khaki pants with the pleat, their pressed pleated khaki pants, and the button down blue shirts, and I grew up in the hood. I'm not kidding. Even though I was in the military, I was born in Denver and, pretty much grew up in Denver, in Southwest Denver. I went to one of the toughest schools in the city. And, these guys come and try to, rough me up. And I had a huge bicycle chain because I was riding my bike to work when they cut me off because I didn't live that far and I wanted to save on gas and stuff. And, I got one of them on the side of the head, and another guy came out and tried to do all these karate moves. And when I clocked the other guy on the side of the head, I remember feeling a tickle, like some kind of weird spasm in my lower back, and I hit the ground. Well, come to find out, they tased me, and all these people were watching this happen, and the cops came right away. And one of the people watching this happen chased this car into a military installation. And he couldn't follow him anymore. So, yep, that happens off and on.
Have they attacked you like that more than once?
They've broken into our house. I've been shot at.
Okay, who shot at you?
That's a good question. The first time it happened, it was and they're always either unmarked, like white Ford Tauruses or black SUVs. They're always unmarked, and or they have government plates on them. Mm-hmm. The ones that beat me up were unmarked, and the ones that shot at me were unmarked. But there was a gentleman taking... Every time I'd step outside, I was outside doing yard work or something. And there was a guy in a Ford Taurus, had a camera with a huge, long, telephoto lens on. I could see he was taking pictures of me, so I walked over towards him, and he'd drive off. And this kept happening all day, and I think he was getting rather upset. And it was the last time, it was about 8 o'clock at night, and I was in the middle of the road trying to see if I could see this guy, and I see this, this, object hovering above my house, about the size of a basketball. It was a bright red orb the size of a basketball, and I could hear something humming, and I turned to look, and as soon as I turned, I felt something go whizzing by my ear, and I saw a spark in the road, and then I heard the gunshot. It's like whatever it was, the ETs, whoever, whatever that thing was above my house, saved my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other time we were shot at was in Denver, and I still have a bullet hole in my windshield. I haven't got the money to fix it just yet.
So that was fairly recent?
Yeah, it was about a year ago.
Mm-hmm. people that hear this, of course, people that listen to this show are interested in this genre, and this is not something that would be absolutely new to them. They've heard of people being roughed up and abused and so forth within this genre. And we've actually heard of people disappearing as well. We've heard of people being suicided, and these days we have a new term for that. They've been Breitbarted. And so, but there are a lot of people listening to the show tonight that perhaps it's their first time to come wade in our pool. And they may be thinking, oh, this is a fantastic story. This is, there's no way. I mean, you know, that's stuff you'd see on the X-Files. I'm sure you've heard some of that over the years.
Absolutely.
How do you deal with that?
See, that's what's sad about this whole situation with these abductees. You know, number one, they're terrified by their experiences to the point where they can't function. It took me 2 years to ever finally get a good night's sleep. I was afraid to go to sleep for fear of somebody taking me. And then you get the ridicule, and then not only do you get the ridicule, but you get threats from these outside groups telling you to shut up about it. So you get a triple whammy. And how we dealt with it is through, believe it or not, through humor. We make fun of all this stuff because it defuses the situation. And I'm one of the lucky ones. You know, I went into this being a complete skeptic, and my wife was the believer, and she helped me through this. And then, you know, once we realized that humor is the best way to deal with it, that's what we're trying to teach people now, especially the ones that are having these horrific experiences. Make fun of it, laugh about it, you know, because that's a good way to survive through it.
You know, I think you're right. But your story about being shot at is living proof of what I say all the time, and that is that these people are cockroaches. And when you turn the lights on, cockroaches run. As you approach the vehicle, they don't want you to see them. Okay, they want you to pretend you don't see them. I mean, that's. Yeah. I have a friend that used to be the chief of security at one of our embassies in the old, during the old Soviet Union days, and actually he was he had two different embassies that he served at over time, and he said the when they go in, you know, first when he first went there, they gave him a briefing and they said, okay, look. Every time you walk out of the embassy, the KGB is going to be sitting out there. And they're going to be in these, you know, plane cars and you know, you're not supposed to notice them. You're supposed to just act like they're not there. And he said, you know what, that's nonsense. He didn't say it, but to himself, he said, that's nonsense. And he walked out. And sure enough, there they were, and he walked right over to the car and introduced himself and said, I understand you're KGB. And these guys were just floored. They didn't know what to do. It scared them. Because the game was, pretend you don't see us. So, to the spooks, hey, we do see you, and we do know what you're up to.
Sure.
And these guys are cockroaches. They don't have the guts God gave an earthworm. Once the lights are on, all they're big, they're bad, they're you know, super bad, until you turn the lights on. And when you turn the lights on, these cockroaches run. They rely on darkness. They rely on people not knowing and not seeing. But when the lights are on, where you can identify them, they run.
You know, it's interesting too, because it took me a while to come to terms with this, because I really was such a skeptic. And it was the harassment that finally got me to understand that this was real, because if it wasn't real, then why were they harassing me, telling me to shut up about it?
Absolutely.
And I get comfort knowing that they're spending by now, this has been going on for 12 years. I get comfort knowing they spent quite a few million dollars in, you know, surveillance and stuff just because of little old me. And it doesn't make sense either because me and my wife are an open book. Everything that happens, we tell everybody. Everything that, I mean, I don't even understand. I mean, they just a couple weeks ago found a very sophisticated, two very sophisticated listening devices in our house. They could come to me and I'd tell them everything. I'd tell everybody everything.
But that's the point. They're not going to do that because they have no guts. They're not going to do it because they're afraid of the light. They are cockroaches.
You know, it's interesting, though. I truly believe we have some good guys on the inside. And I'm not going to get into it because I don't want to, you know, reveal anything to anything that's out there, any bad things that are out there. But we truly do have protection. We've been contacted by some of the guys that were in charge of us that we actually, somehow just being involved, they're now switched over to the good side. So, you know, the message I have is for everybody, especially those guys. They're cockroaches, yes, but they're the ones that need this the most. They're the ones I'm trying to reach the most because they're the most lost.
I can see that. All right, I want to talk about one of the shots that's in your video trailer on your website. And in this shot, what we see is your right leg, and it's the right side of your right leg, and there's two, four, looks like five places where it looks like somebody drilled holes in your leg. Is that from
that,
an abduction?
That, or? To me, that changed everything. That situation changed everything. I truly believe that there's good and bad out there, you know, as it is on heaven, so on earth. You know, there's good and bad out there, just like there's good and bad here. Apparently, I have some friends out there, which is very comforting to me. And if they're not friends, you know, they're sure pulling a fast one on me. But this particular abduction experience happened because I fell off a ladder and tore the anterior cruciate ligament in my leg along with a hamstring. And I was supposed to go into surgery to get that fixed that next Wednesday.
Stan, we have a break coming up.
Sure.
So before we get much into this account, let's just pause here. And that way, when we come back from break, we won't have missed a bunch of time. We can just kind of start at the beginning of that story.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to step away for break, and we will be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are speaking this evening with Stan Romanek. And let's get that volume adjusted. There we go. We're speaking with Stan Romanek, and we're talking about the... we're talking about all of his abduction experiences over the years. But as we went away for break, we were discussing these marks on the right side of his right leg. And, Stan, you were about to tell us how that all happened.
Well, like I said earlier, I had fallen off a ladder. I was painting the eave of my house. I had fallen off a ladder and tore that anterior cruciate ligament and my hamstring of my knee. And I was supposed to go into surgery that next week, that next Wednesday. And as it is typical with most of my abduction experiences, somehow the breaker box gets overloaded and, you know, the power goes out in the house. And my wife woke up and I was missing. She looked everywhere for me, couldn't find me, got a flashlight, went to the garage to flip the breakers back on. And when she came back, there I was, just standing in the middle of the living room, kind of confused. And for whatever reason, we didn't say anything about it or even mention anything. We just went back to bed. Woke up the next morning, and my wife, I couldn't work because of my knee, and my wife had to get up early to go to work. And she came running in the bedroom. She goes, "Stan, you got to see this. You got to see this." So, you know, I followed her to the kitchen window, and out in our backyard, there was this perfect circle depressed in our grass, and there were concentric rings. It was spiraled counterclockwise. And I remember that circle within just from, I guess it was 6 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock that evening, it was so dead, the grass was blowing away, you know, from inside this circle. And she goes, "Stan, do you notice anything different?" I go, "Yeah, there's a damn circle in my yard." And she goes, "No, do you notice anything else?" And I go, "Huh, where's my cast?" Because I had a brace or a cast from my hip to my ankle that I went to bed with. I go, "Where's my cast? And why is my knee not swollen anymore? And why are there 5 holes in the back of my leg?" I actually had my leg fixed. They fixed my leg during this abduction experience. And, you know, I had to, the fun part was calling my doctor to explain that I didn't need surgery. And I remember calling her, and I had to leave a message for her, so she called me back. I said, "Hey, look, Doc, I don't need surgery. I'm better." And, you know, I wasn't about to tell her that I was abducted by aliens and fixed by aliens. She would have just flipped the lid. And she goes, "Stan, I understand that you're afraid, and you don't want surgery, but if you don't get surgery, you need to know you're going to be a cripple the rest of your life." I said, "Look, I can't explain it. I just have to show you." She goes, "I'll tell you what. I'm at home right now, but my associate's in the emergency room. Go to the emergency room. I'll set it up so you can talk to him." And that's what we did. And my wife luckily recorded the whole conversation, and they were just dumbfounded, absolutely dumbfounded. Because here they had, you know, CAT scans, x-rays, whatever you want to call it, of my knee before it was fixed, and here it was after, and it was completely healed and fixed, and they couldn't explain it.
Now, had your doctor been responsible for these 5 holes in the side of your leg? So what did they say about that?
They couldn't explain it. They said that is the most bizarre thing they'd ever seen, because it ran along where the ligament was torn, where part of the ligament was torn, where those holes were. From what I understand, it's right behind where the ligaments were torn. So,
did they ask you how you got the cast off of your leg?
They couldn't explain it. Interestingly enough, we found it was actually a brace. We found the brace on the side of the house, and it was melted because it was, you know, it had the metal rods with the foam, and it had these little dialy things on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nothing but a pile of ashes. And the only reason you could tell it was my brace is because the little metal aluminum rods were still intact with the dials. Well, kind of intact. They were also melted. And we found bits and pieces in the field behind our house, and some of the pieces were on top of the swing set in our yard, like it had been thrown from a high altitude and just landed there.
So, your doctor confirmed through medical examination that you had been completely healed.
Yes. And it's great because if you listen, and I speak all over the country, and my presentations, I play that recording. And the guy at the very end, he goes, and I didn't tell him how. I said, "Look, my brace disappeared, and suddenly I've got these holes, and I'm fixed." And I let him try to figure out what was going on. And at the end, he goes, "You've got to call Ghostbusters." I didn't say anything about Ghostbusters, but it was easier for him to accept the reality of ghosts than it was ETs. So,
we have another picture from your video trailer. Now this one, I'm not sure, I think this is on your arm, but it looks like we're looking at it under a black light, and there's some marks that are fluorescing. What are we looking at here?
My first abduction experience, I woke up in my bed 8 o'clock in the morning, and I remembered everything, but I couldn't handle it. This is how amazing your brain is. When you have something that really challenges your reality, your brain will try to make it something else because it's, you know, something it's hard, too hard for you to handle. I conned myself into believing it was some kind of dream. But when I got up to make pancakes, I didn't have a shirt on. I had some gym shorts on. And my sister goes, "What in the heck happened to your back?" And I didn't feel any pain, but I could feel with my own hands. I, you know, went around and felt the holes in my back, and then it all started flooding back. And I was having a breakdown of some kind. I just started freaking out and bawling.
Now, this is on your back?
Yeah, well, on my back and on my wrists. When I looked down on my wrists, all the hair was rubbed off my wrists, and there were these open wounds on my wrists. Well, my friend said, "Look, Stan, we need to find out what's going on. Why don't we call the local UFO organization?" And luckily, the international branch of a big UFO organization was not far from me, so they sent their top investigators. And they said, "Look, if you've been taken, sometimes what will happen is if we have a black light, these wounds, whatever they are, skin grafts, will sometimes fluoresce under black light." Well, they got the black light out. They shined it on my knee. We're out of scrape. Nothing. But as soon as they got to those wounds on my hands and on my wrists and on my back, I lit up like a Christmas tree. And I'm telling you, it took me, I tried gasoline, I tried Brillo pads, I tried female posture remover. That stuff was under my skin and stayed there, fluoresced for about 90 days. Oddly, the marks themselves healed within about 24 to 30 hours.
And do you have any clue as to what these marks are all about?
Other than I remember them taking some kind of skin grafts off my back, and I remember I had these, when I was stuck to the wall, I had these almost looked like copper bracelets with these tiny little filaments, hair-like filaments, going to the wall. I could have snapped them real easy, but I couldn't get free from the wall.
Mm-hmm. And did you have any residual sensations like itching or burning or anything of these wounds?
Nothing. I didn't even know. I mean, there was no pain, no itching, no burning, nothing. In fact, it was almost like I was looking at somebody else because I'm sitting there going, "Well, I can see that I have a wound, but they don't hurt, they don't itch, they don't nothing." So whatever they use, man, we need some of that for scrapes and bumps, because it's amazing.
Have you ever suspected that you have an implant?
Oh, I know I do. I probably have altogether at least four of that they've picked up on x-rays and CAT scans and MRIs. And one of them, I think it was 2004, I had an experience where I came back and I had a tiny lump on my hip, and I could feel something under there, but, you know, I didn't know what it was. I didn't know much about this alien abduction stuff. And it started later on. I had another experience where I had three puncture marks, and then a year later, something started coming out of that lump, and I thought, wow, it's a sliver of some kind. I don't know what I got into. Went to the doctor, they took an x-ray, he said, "Oh yeah, you've got two of them, one by your hip bone, and we don't know what that is, but it's perfectly teardrop shaped, and then we see the one you're talking about, but we don't know what it is." Anyhow, I got them to take it out. When they took it out, it was this perfect teardrop shaped crystal, I guess, for lack of a better description. And
all right, we have to step away for break. We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, with Stan Romanek right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. For those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. And my guest this evening is Mr. Stan Romanek. And we're talking about probably one of the best documented abduction accounts, not just one, but an account of several abductions and that have happened. I believe, Stan, you said there were about 11 over the past 11 years.
Yes.
Do they seem to happen at about the same time of the year?
Yeah, mostly they do, usually September, October, November. But, you know, a few of them happened, you know, in the summertime. And I'm going to call two of those abductions and the rest of those experiences. Abductions definitely have a negative undertone to it or overtone to it. And, you might as well say all of them were abductions. They took me against my will, you know. And that's the thing. I kind of fight with that. You know, you talk.
Are you aware when they start abducting you?
Pardon me?
Are you aware of it when they are abducting you?
For the most part, yes. There's precursors. I start seeing UFOs a lot. And, you know, that's one thing that's really bizarre about my case, according to the researchers involved with this. Most of the stuff that happens only happens with a lot of people around. So if stuff starts happening, I start getting paranoid because it's like, oh, maybe they're going to start getting ready to take me or something.
And so these are not experiences that you look forward to.
Well, you know, it's scary. It's out of the norm. I haven't had anything happen recently. And as far as abductions are concerned, the paranormal stuff happens all the time. And again, with lots of people around. So luckily, I don't have to explain things, but I mean, we have stuff happen on a monthly basis at least.
How do they get you out of your room? Do you know?
You know, that's a good question. Usually they wake me up somehow. One incident that surveillance cameras captured, it sounded like my stepson was yelling for help, and when they analyzed the audio, they found out that it was actually a mechanical, some kind of device making the sound. It wasn't a human voice, and they think they actually got me up out of bed by using my stepson's voice yelling for help. And that's one incident. The other one, you know, they knocked at my door, which is, that's not typical, but it really happened. You know, various things. Sometimes they just take you in your sleep. One incident, I remember I was taken and put back in somebody else's clothing. To the amusement of my wife, I was put back in a woman's nightgown. So, you know, and all that stuff is in my books.
Maybe these guys just have a sense of humor. Maybe that's why they did that.
I think sometimes they just don't care. I mean, I've heard situations where one real extreme one was they always seem to be interested in us genetically. They always seem to be messing around with our, you know, reproductive system. Mm-hmm. And every time I'm taken, there's always a woman up there with me. But I heard one situation where a woman and a man were sent back to the wrong houses in different states, and they woke up in the wrong beds, just completely not okay with what happened.
Yeah, I would think so. We hear a lot. You brought up the their apparent interest in genetic material. We hear a lot about that they have some sort of hybridization program going on. Is that real, Stan?
Absolutely, and I have proof.
You have
the
proof?
I have physical proof that came to visit us at one of my conferences in front of 200 people, and we've got pictures and witness reports.
What are we talking about? What kind of physical proof?
Well, again, you have to understand there are different things out there. There are different things, some good, some bad, some with different agendas. I've been taken, every time I've been taken up there with a woman. It was by chance that I recognized this woman at one of my talks. We're now good friends, and I had a surprise book release party. My first book became an international best-selling book, and my wife wanted to throw me a party. Well, during that party, about 9 o'clock at night, it was raining outside. I looked outside, and there was this small girl standing at the edge of my driveway staring at me, and I'm thinking, number one, you know, what parent in their right mind would let their child out this late? Why is she standing there in the rain, and why in the heck is she wearing a gray jumpsuit? I went out to see what she wanted, and she ran away. Well, I was telling everybody about it, and she came back, and I pointed it out to one of my friends, and they said, Stan, look, it's just the neighbor kid. Leave her alone. Well, one of the people that's involved with my case, one of the researchers, is ex-Naval Intelligence. Good guy. He's definitely on the light side, not the dark side.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I went outside, and he followed me. I didn't have... we don't have street lights on our block, so I couldn't see very well, so tried to find a flashlight. All I had was a camera, so I was using the flash of the camera to illuminate the area. And I hear this kid running away, and then I hear her stop. I mean, I hear her footsteps stop. And as I took a picture, I got a picture of her looking out from behind a tree. And I got to tell you, I was so dumbfounded by what I captured on camera, I was speechless. And my friend Rick was going, the researcher was going, Stan, what's going on? What's going on? And then all of a sudden you can hear the kid run away again. And I showed him the picture. He goes, oh my God, you have to show everybody what you just captured. It was the most angelic looking, porcelain doll looking child you could ever imagine, except her eyes were not human. They were huge, very slanted, oval, so the irises were so blue they were almost violet eyes. And I came down and I showed everybody, and I got to tell you, some of the people involved in my case are, you know, I got one guy that's a MIT, you know, professor of physics, you know, I got the ex-Naval Intelligence guy, I got scientists, all these people that were at this party, and people started crying. They were so moved by this picture. Well, they told me to go put it on the computer, and I walked down the steps and I had the camera in the palm of my hand, and I was going to go put the picture on the computer, and I heard a beep and the picture just vanished. 2 minutes later, I got a phone call, said, Daddy, don't worry, I'm fine, I'll see you again sometime, and I lost it. I completely lost it.
You got a phone call that said, Daddy, don't worry, I'm fine?
Yes, I did. And not only once, but twice. We got another phone call. I was on the phone with this woman that I told you about that I met that was up in the, you know, that I was abducted with, that is now our friend. And we were talking about this conference we were going to in Aztec, New Mexico. And we got a phone call from, but our phone got interrupted, like they somehow tapped into our phone conversation, and it was a little girl. And she started talking and said that they were going to show up at this conference. And I'm thinking, man, this has to be some kind of black ops joke, ploy, whatever. Well, I went down to this conference. We drove down with this very famous Italian journalist named Paola Harris. She's famous in the UFO field. And she lived not that far from me. And we drove down to this conference together because we were both speakers at this conference. And we knew about, you know, I told her about this call, and we were waiting for something to happen, and nothing happened. And, you know, she was a speaker, and I was going to speak after her, so I went to the hotel to get dressed as she was speaking, came back, and I was in the parking lot, and I dropped my computer. And I grabbed my computer, and as I picked up my computer, this little girl ran up to me with flowers. And she says, I love you, and ran off. And I didn't think anything of it, and I'm looking for the parents to thank the parents, and then I didn't see anybody. She just vanished. This little girl just vanished. It's like, oh my God, could that have been one of the children? Well, I'm looking all over for this little girl, asking if people had seen her. Nobody had seen her. And I was in there telling my wife, and this different little girl came in there, and it was dark because of the, you know, Paula Harris was talking. She goes, Stan, there's something really bizarre about that child. Take a picture or go talk to her. I said, Lisa, look, I think it's just a regular kid. I don't want to take a picture because it'll interrupt Paula Harris's talk. She goes, Stan, take a picture. So I did. And what we captured was one of the hybrid kids. And in fact, you could see her eyes. She has her eyes shut. But if you see, and we sent this to a plastic surgeon to look at, and he's going, this is not anatomically correct for a human. She also only has three fingers and a thumb on both hands. And this.
And you still have this picture?
I do. It's in my book. It's in my newest book, Answers. It's going to be on the documentary feature film. I don't show it now because of the feature film. I'm under contract not to show. I'd love to show it, but they won't let me.
Yeah.
But it is in the book, and I showed it at my presentations. And this child, there were three of them that were there, came up and talked to people at the Aztec conference. And this conference was held, oddly enough, in a Mason's lodge. And the head Mason came up to me after you know the talk, and I explained what happened, crying because these kids came up to him, and he was so shaken up because he knew they were not human because their eyes, and because of the way they only had three fingers, and there were so many. I have tons of witness reports, and they came up looking for their dad, and they actually left a message for a woman, and it's just, I mean, it's real. It really is real.
Wow. When was this conference, Stan?
This was in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
I got
a lot of
witness
people,
reports. It's all in my book.
Lots of people saw these kids.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, there's no doubting this. When you got people coming up to you and the head Mason so freaked out, he's got tears in his eyes and shaking. You know, this is the real deal. This isn't something anybody's making up.
I want to invite our audience to join our conversation. Folks, you're hearing tonight perhaps some stuff that is way outside of your box. Well, get used to it. That's what we do here on this show. Here you have an opportunity to talk with Stan Romanek, to talk with someone who has, I would say, very solid evidence of his abductions, even medical evidence. He's got photographic evidence, and I got to tell you, Stan, I want to see the picture of that child, so I've got to get your book. But folks, here's how you can join the conversation. The conversation may be joined at 623-444-5889. Give us a call at 623-444-5889, and you can join in tonight's conversation. If you are outside of the USA or you're outside of Canada, we have an additional option for you because we know it's expensive to make those international long-distance calls. So what you can do is you go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, scroll down, you'll see the picture about tonight's show, and when you do, right above the picture is a link that says Flash Message. So if you're in the USA or Canada, use the telephone, and if you're outside of the USA or Canada, you may use the telephone or the Flash Message feature on the website. Let's go to the telephone, and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Tony from Denver.
Hello, Tony.
Hello, Kevin. Hey, Stan, what has ever become of your equations you were given?
Oh, yeah, that's a whole other story in and of itself. They're now starting to figure out what they might pertain to. Some of them are already known, some of them aren't. But according to the physicists working on them, they believe it talks about zero-point energy and wormholes and weird stuff like that. And unfortunately, I'm not a mathematician, And so I don't understand what they're talking about, but I'll have to take them for their word.
Stan, Leo Sprinkle has had involvement throughout the years in your case. Why is
Absolutely.
Him, and has he ever been used as a screen image, kind of like you referred, they use your son's voice to trick you?
No, uh-uh. I don't really understand the what you're saying, but no, Leo Sprinkle, honestly, Leo Sprinkle has helped us a lot. You know, he's one of the pioneers when it comes to hypnotherapy in abduction cases. And we were a little concerned about getting hypnotherapy because you always hear the debunkers say this. Oh, they will sway you. And I was really paranoid about that. And luckily, Leo Sprinkle's not like that. He really knows what he's doing. So he's a good guy.
One last question for you, please. Has any of the aliens ever referred to you as their property? Do they treat you as their property? Maybe have referred to you that they think you belong to them?
I've heard that. You know, it's interesting you bring that up. I'm trying to help a woman that's going through something a little bit different than me, but and she says that's what they refer to her as. I've not had that happen at all. Oddly, they call me Starseed, and it took me a while to, you know, I thought that was some kind of joke. It took me a while to figure that out, but they've never kind of said they owned me or I was their property, but I've heard that before.
Well, thank you, and I've always enjoyed your case. I've been here in Denver paying attention, especially back in the days when you were on the local show with Alejandro Rojas. I've always enjoyed your story, and thank you for being the guest tonight, and thank you, Kevin, for taking my call.
All right, thanks for the call. And you may call, ladies and gentlemen, at 623-444-5889. As I said, if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, there is an additional option you may use, and that additional option is called the Flash Message, and you just go to my website and scroll down. You'll see the picture about tonight's show, and when you do, right above it, you'll see the link. When you got the telephone call that said, don't worry about me, Daddy, I'm okay, and I'll see you again, how did that make you feel?
I knew. It was, you know, I don't know if they have a way to project. You know, once you've had these experiences, you understand that they don't communicate like you or I. They really do communicate some kind of telepathic ability that they have, and this was more than just a phone call. I knew instantly that there was a connection. I knew, and in fact, I sobbed for a good 10-20 minutes because all the abduction experiences came flooding back. One of them, I remember these beings brought 7 children into the room, and I remember I'm going to try not to get emotional over this. I usually get emotional over this. I remember this little girl holding my leg, and I looked down at her. It's like, wow, she kind of looks human, but kind of not. And, oh, my God, she looks like me a little bit. And, you know, there really is some kind of hybridization thing going on. What is their agenda? I wished I had the answers, you know, but you hear all kinds of things, you know. Some say, oh, they're going to take us over. Or, oh, they want to replace us. Or, oh, you know, these things have been around for thousands of years. If they want to take us out, they would have done so a long time ago. So who knows?
Yeah, you would think so. Yeah. All right, let's go to the telephone and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
First name, CJ.
Hello, CJ.
Denver.
And you're calling from where?
From Denver, Colorado.
From Denver, okay.
Hey, CJ.
I'm a good friend of Stan's. I wanted to call in and tell you, Kevin, that I've known Stan for a while, and what he's talking about is very real.
CJ, have you ever been present when any of these UFOs showed up or any of the abductions have taken place?
Haven't been present for the abductions, but we were present for the little girl.
You were?
Yes, we were.
Now, when you say you were present for the little girl, you're talking about the one that he got a picture of her looking out from behind a tree?
Yeah, that was the party for him. Uh-huh. The little girl showed up, and he came walking with the picture on the camera. That was just amazing.
What kind of an effect did the picture have on you?
I knew we weren't alone anymore. I mean, it clarified everything.
So when you look at this picture, there was something about this child that was definitely not all human.
Oh, yeah, there was. You knew right away. You knew right away that this was definitely a person not from this world.
Would you say that has had? Would you say that has changed your life?
Well, you know, I believed all along that we weren't alone, but that definitely made me believe that we were definitely not alone anymore. I mean, I met Stan a long time ago as friends and through one of his conferences, but I believe, but I always had doubts in my mind. Mm-hmm. Was it real or was it not real with the extraterrestrials? But after seeing the photo, there was no doubt in my mind that we were definitely not alone anymore. And my wife was a total skeptic on all this stuff. And when she saw the picture also, it just threw her away. And we're well-educated. I mean, we're not some fly-by-night people. I mean, my wife just finished a master's. And, you know, I'm college-educated. I have a good job and everything. So we're not just some, you know, people trying to make a name for Stan. We're definitely real believers, and we'll stand behind Stan 100% on this, what we saw.
See, you know, that's it, though, Kevin. Most of the stuff that happens only happens with people around. You get involved, you start having experiences yourself. Mm-hmm. Our friends come here, and stuff happens all the time. I always tell people, look, you don't believe me, just come hang out for a while. I remember there's a local radio show, and they were really mean to me. They were always picking on me, always saying I was crazy. I invited them to the house. They left completely changed because they had so many experiences. Now they're my biggest supporter.
Wow. That's good. CJ, thank you for the call.
Well, thank you. Yes, I appreciate it, Kevin. You have a great night.
All right, thanks.
And I love to talk. Sounds good.
All right, folks, 623-444-5889. Not only have we the testimony of Stan Romanek this evening, but a witness that was present at the party when the little girl showed up and saw the picture of the little girl. So that's pretty outstanding. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And we'd love to hear from you. Now, Stan, I'm going to show the audience who are viewing on our television channel a picture in just a moment. It's a picture that made it around the country, and almost immediately there were people jumping up saying it's real and others saying it's a hoax. Before I do that, we have to take a break. Caller, you just hang on. We'll be back to you right after this break.
States of America. And you're listening to The Kevin Smith Show, like no other talk radio on earth.
All right, welcome back to The Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Stan Romanek. I'll get to that picture in just a moment, Stan. I want to go ahead and take this call first, though. So, caller, if you will, tell us your first name and from where are you calling.
Hello, Kevin. It's Haya from Victoria.
Hello, Haya.
Hi. Stan, you really brought a lot of memories back to me. I had very severe earaches as a child for many years and went through many, many specialists. And I had an experience with ETs where I no longer, from the age of six onwards, completely disappeared, completely healed. Nobody knew how it happened. Another thing is just last year at the East City Ranch in Washington, it's a UFO hotspot, and everybody there saw what you saw, the round ball, of the spherical orange and red. Well, this one was the same. It was 50 feet above our head. We just didn't see it. We experienced it on many different levels, physical levels as well.
You know, it's
when
it's
you
interesting.
Had your,
okay, hang on, Victoria. Victoria, hang on. Stan, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, there are a lot of experiencers. It's kind of cut halfway down the middle. Some people have bad experiences. Some people have, you know, good experiences. And some people have in between. The good experiences, they will heal people from horrible illnesses. They will fix people. They will, you know, do all these different things. And, you know, I've heard this over and over again. I'm not the only one. Recently, I had something happen, not just my leg, but I had really bad kidney stones. And I went to the doctor, you know, they took MRIs of it, and I had to go to the doctor because they were talking about surgery. And I went to the doctor, he goes, is somebody playing a joke on me? I go, I'm confused, I don't understand what. He goes, well, you don't have kidney stones anymore, and that's an impossibility. They can't just suddenly vanish in that short amount of time. It just doesn't happen, so... It is an enigma, whatever it is.
Yeah, when you were taken, did you find that it was that you experienced not just the sighting or the physical, but also the psychological, the mental, and all the different levels of understanding what's really going on?
I you know, you come back from this with, well, like it or not, you come back with this from this with abilities, with, I call it sudden knowingness. I don't know where it comes from or how, but if I have a question that needs to be answered, sometimes it's just there. So yeah, things have changed. And, you know, I talk to a lot of people that ask me, Stan, if you could go back in time and change things, would you do so? No, I wouldn't. I would not do it because I've learned exponentially and now I get to live outside the box.
Yeah, I live at the side of the box as well. What I have found that over the period of a few years now, I've had a lot of downloads. I call them downloads anyways. But I have found that I'm starting to take paranormal photography, and I'm getting the weirdest stuff that you could ever believe. And it's nothing bad, but it's it just gets a hold of you, and it just, you want to know more. You want to, you know, the pictures I'm taking, they're quite unusual, some of them.
I've seen some of them, and you're right. You have.
Yes, and I'm developing abilities that I never realized I had, or I guess I did know I had them, but they just seem to become stronger and stronger, like a knowing, you know. You can't explain it, you can't prove it to anybody, but you know it.
You know, and everybody, every human has these abilities. It's just some people seem to be switching on. And if you're a true experiencer, you have what is called high strangeness. Everything and anything paranormal starts to happen to you. Suddenly your house is the most haunted house on the block. And nobody knows why, but along with that high strangeness is, you know, these abilities, this knowingness, this whatever it is that they've done to you, changes you. You know, it just does.
Hiya, you've posted some of your pictures in our members community, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, so let me say to all of you who are members, go over to the members community, and Hiya, what is your well, you can do a search just on her first name. Just browse for Hiya, H-A-I-A-H.
A-H, yes.
Mm-hmm. And then look at her photos. And it is some strange stuff.
Yeah, And I just put the very tame stuff on. Mm-hmm. I have more wacky stuff that I'm going to be putting on soon, too. Very different.
Outstanding. Hiya, thanks for the call.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Have a great day, both of you.
All right, thanks. 623-444-5889. Now, folks are looking at a picture that's in your trailer, you know, your video trailer. This is a picture that shows what looks like a gray peeking through a door or a window.
I've got multiple pictures like that. I've got multiple videos like that. Depending on which one you're looking at, there's one that we call Boo, Peekaboo, because we thought we had a peeping Tom. There's another one that we caught looking through our sliding glass door, and it's a video. And
yeah, that's what we're looking at.
The sliding glass door. That particular one, I had fallen asleep. Somebody hacked into my computer, and I had fallen asleep at my computer. My stepson, who was, he was still fairly young at the time, I think he was like 11 or something like that, had some friends over spending the night. Well, it was about 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 12 o'clock, I think, actually, at night. And I woke up because I heard a noise, and I had one eye open, and I'm looking, and I see a naked figure running into the kitchen. I'm thinking, oh, what is my stepson doing? Some kind of weird dare. And I went to find my camera, because my camcorder, because I wanted to use it to blackmail him to get him to clean his room or something later. And I went upstairs, and I looked all over. I couldn't find anybody. I went upstairs, and my stepson and the rest of his friends were all asleep, except one kid said, look, something woke me up, and he was kind of groggy and went back to sleep. So, like, I was totally confused. I know what I saw, but I walked down the stairs, and I was just about to shut off the camcorder when something caught my eye, and there was a person, I thought, looking at me from the other side of the sliding glass door. And I was no more than maybe 12 to 15 feet from this sliding glass door. I was so shook up by it, I almost forgot to point the camera toward it, and there was an ET staring at me through the sliding glass door. He blinks once, closes his eyes, and slowly moves away in this video. And I'm thinking, somebody has to have a costume or something out there, and I'm looking, I can't see anything. And I'm too afraid to actually go outside, so I go to the kitchen, from the dining room to the kitchen, dining room to the kitchen. And the last time I remember anything, there was I was looking out the kitchen, and there were three flashes of light. Boom, boom, boom. I woke up on the ground 45 minutes later, not remembering anything but the flashes of light. I'm looking at my camera going, what just happened? And luckily, the camera captured everything.
So, what were the flashes of light?
I think it was something to take me out. You know, make me unconscious. Not take me out, but make me unconscious. I can't tell you. All I know is after the flashes, toward the end of the last flash, even the camera goes out. I go out and the camera goes out. Same time.
Okay. Got a flash message here from Terry in the UK. Now, it's spelled T-E-R-I, so I assume this is a female. So she says, Stan, with the attempts on your life, are you not concerned for your safety and that of your family?
Oh, always, always, always. But one thing I've learned from, again, I got to tell you, there's a war going on. Even within this secret government, even within the global elite, even within the military, I honestly believe we have some people on our side, and I think some of the good guys are starting this, and bad guys are starting to switch over. The first thing I was told a long time ago is stay in the public eye, because they don't want to make a martyr out of anybody. And it's not even like that. I mean, these guys are just people, and I want to help them more than anybody else. They're just, you know, they just go along doing what they're doing because that's how they were trained. once I realized there's something more important involved here, and it really is for them also, then, you know, things start to change.
All right. Some of them are listening.
Absolutely.
Let me tell you that, you know, we're on AM, FM, internet radio, all mobile devices and internet television. Now, on the internet radio, just the government computers that log in every night, if that's all I had for an audience, I would still have one of the largest internet radio audiences on the planet.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
As a matter of fact, when we list all the cities, we go to the server and we download the log. And then we run an analysis on it, and it shows us, you know, it can tell, the software can sort it out and tell which city is number one in terms of our largest audience, which, by the way, is New York. And then it can rank the cities, okay? The 13th largest city for us is government computers.
Wow. Yeah, I'm not surprised. And, you know, these guys, I think it's cool that, I mean, I've got my cousin's ex-NSA. We've got friends that are ex-NSA. You know, these guys are really bad guys, most of them, some of them are. And it's the bad ones you have to watch out for. It's the bad ones that I'm trying to reach the most. It's like, well, I don't have anything to hide. You want to come talk to me, just do it. Just come talk to me. I'll show you whatever. You know, but these guys don't because... I don't know.
No, I do. It requires a spine to crawl out of the dark.
Yeah, exactly. I have a theory that the reason this, whoever, secret government, whatever you want to call them, and yes, there has to be something, is trying to keep this subdued is because they don't want to lose power. This is the most important thing in the history of mankind. And once we know we're not alone, it's a game changer, folks.
It is. Stan, one of the things I say quite often, and you've touched on it, is that people say, well, knowledge is power, and I say that's nonsense. Knowledge is not power. Secrets are power. Knowledge is freedom. Because when you know the secrets, they no longer have any power over you. And I think that more than anything else, the reason for all of the secrecy is to retain a grasp on power.
Well, I've got a secret that I would like to share with you as to why I believe this group is really trying to keep this covered up.
Okay.
Well, it's because humans don't have any idea who they truly are. And this is going to be really hard for the human race to accept. But I've got it firsthand from, you know, some of these officials I know. Also from my experiences. Also, I recently saw it one time on CNN. The head of the Human Genome Project came out and said, oh, and by the way, 30 to 40% of human DNA is not human. It comes from somewhere off planet.
We have to step away for a break. And we will do so, and we will be back right after this. Caller, we'll take you right after the break, okay? All right, folks. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are on Final Approach. My guest this evening is Stan Romanek. And Stan, we had to cut you off in mid-sentence because the break took over. So I want to give you a chance to finish up, and then we'll take this call.
Well, what I was saying is humans, according to the Human Genome Project, aren't all humans. In fact, we are indeed the hybrids. You know, and not only that, humans don't understand the amazing God-given ability they have. And in my presentation, I have an experiment at the end of my presentation that proves this scientifically. they have the ability to change quantum reality naturally, which means, and especially in large groups, what they believe they manifest. This global leader, whoever, and I don't know who they are, it's speculation, understands this. So what they do is they keep everybody in fear. And in doing so, because what we believe we manifest, we control ourselves. Once we understand that we have neighbors and we understand who we aren't going to be controlled anymore. They won't be able to, because we'll understand we have these amazing abilities.
All right, let's go to the telephone then. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, this is Mike from Kentucky.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, Kevin, Stan. I just wanted my spine back in position. I kind of let it get out of whack the last few days and kind of turned into jelly, you know. But anyway, Stan... one of the things that makes it hard for the average individual to accept these type of stories is that it's totally foreign, as you know, to their day-to-day experience. And even people like myself who are investigators and have had many experiences with other, you know, contactees and abductees, we still are on the outside looking in. And so... I'm just basically wanting to know what it is that allows people to get in.
Well, you know, it's baby steps. It's baby steps. I have a theory that there's two different types of reality. One that we were taught by society, you know, we go to work, we come home, we do this, we do that. You know, people believe in God, they believe in this, you know. And then there's a true reality, the real reality. It's very scary for people that to have their reality bubble burst, so you have to take baby steps. How do you get in? You just start doing your own investigation. You just start getting people to look up every once in a while. It doesn't take much. It's like dropping a stone in a very still lake. You know, the ripple effect will reach the banks. And sometimes it's just the smallest thing that'll help people along. But you can't do it real fast. You have to do it in small amounts.
Well, I think it's probably the initial contact is what people are afraid of.
Yeah, it is. And people, you know, even within my own family, I got people think I'm just nuttier than a fruitcake. And I can show them the proof, but they're so frightened they refuse. And my brother's a good example. He always says, well, I'll believe in it when they land on the White House lawn. It's like, guess what, guys? In the 40s, they tried. We shot at them.
You know, Kevin tell you that I don't have to make contact with aliens to be considered nutty in a fruitcake.
Well, yeah, that's right. That's right. Mike, thanks for the call.
Okay, thanks. Thank you, Stan.
Yep.
I don't know why people refer to that all the time. Well, when they land on the White House lawn. You know something? Why should someone who's come all the way across the universe to visit us really give a rat's rear about that White House or who's in it?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you can get all the way here from all the way over there, you can pretty much just kind of do what you want to do and land where you want to land when you want to land.
You know, that being said, though, again, they've been here for thousands of years. People are always concerned if they wanted to take us out, they would have done so already.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, this deal about, you know, take me to your leader, I don't think they really care about all
that. Anybody? Yeah, our leaders, most of our leaders are corrupt. It has to be through the people.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I mentioned earlier this picture of the gray looking through your glass door, your sliding glass door. There was another picture, a still shot that you had that was released all over the country, and actually I think part of the video where it's the one you called Boo?
Yes,
uh-huh.
In the window, yes.
And you caught a lot of flack over that. even within the so-called UFO community, which, by the way, is sort of institutionalized cannibalism. They eat their own. What happened with that, and how did you handle it?
Well, you know, it started when I got married to the woman I met online, and she's my wonderful wife now. And I moved to Nebraska, and I have twin stepdaughters and a stepson, and my twin stepdaughters are gorgeous, and, you know, they were young teenagers at the time, and I was watching TV, got up to get a drink of water, and I see somebody popping their head down as, you know, I thought it was a peeping Tom. Well, this went on for about 3 months. Called the police, let everybody know. Nobody could do anything about it. It got so bad we put traps under all the doors, so, you know, anything that made noise, I had a bat by the door, I'd try to catch this thing. One of the scientists involved in my case said, "Hey, Stan, you got a video camera with night shot on it. Next time you see movement out of the window, put it on a tripod, point it toward the window and see what happens." Well, that's what I did. I pretended to go to bed, but I went to the bathroom, and I saw two flashes of light, and, you know, I'm at the bathroom at the edge of the end of this hallway. I could see this window this thing was looking in, or this person was looking in, and I saw the head popped out. It's like, yes, I got him. So I run up to the window in the video, and you can see the video on my website, stanromanek.com, I look and I see this, I thought it was a small child running away, and it was a full moon. I thought it was a full moon because I could clearly see by the light of the moon this child running away, except it somehow sensed that I was looking at him, and it stopped and looked at me, and oh my God, it wasn't human. And you could see me run away scared like a little girl, and my wife thinks that's the funniest video. Well, oddly enough, this video, I wasn't going to show anybody because I wasn't sure about it yet. I didn't know what to think of it. I mean, it was what it was. I remember seeing what I saw.
Stan, we have about 1 minute left.
Somebody broke in, took the video, put it all over the internet, and, you know, they did a campaign saying it was all fake. But it wasn't. I've got proof that it wasn't, so.
How did you handle all of the cannibalism in the UFO community?
There really wasn't much other than the people I think are questionable anyhow. You know, you and I both know that, you know, some of these big UFO organizations have been infiltrated. Mm-hmm. See it all the time. You know, there's a campaign to disinform, and that's what this is all about.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Stan, it's a fascinating, fascinating story. It's been a fascinating evening, and I hope you'll come back and be with us again.
Absolutely, absolutely. And make sure, you know, people out there, get my books, go see my talks. I got one coming up in Florida in June.
Okay. Stay on the line with me for a moment, and I'd like to chat with you just a little bit after we go off the air. But it is now time for me to start bringing this one in for a landing. Ladies and gentlemen, The Kevin Smith Show is listener supported. You've listened to tonight's show. Now we need you to support. We need you to help. And the way you do that is you join our members community or make a donation. Joining the members community comes out to 25 cents a day. You can't beat it. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you'd like to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody. We'll be right back.